2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to do a sneak peek at verse 21 in chapter 5. So, everybody getting there? I finally got there. Yes, sir. Go. Save your place. Well, this week, the Pena family, that's my family, the movie of the weekend is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Have you guys ever seen that? Yeah, it's a good movie, isn't it? The more I see it, the more I like it. Now I want to read the whole Chronicles. But one of the most compelling scenes in the movie is when the White Witch comes to negotiate with Aslan the Lion for Edmund's life. Edmund was the little guy. He betrayed Aslan and basically his brothers and sisters for him wanting to be king or a prince as the White Witch promised him, and we knew she wouldn't keep her promise. But they went to negotiate for his life because she reminded Aslan that when somebody betrays another, blood is required of him. Death. And that is true with the Bible, because that sounds familiar. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, Scripture says. And ever since Eve partook of the apple, death has entered into the world, hasn't it? Ever since Eve, everyone has died. And so, in this week's study, we're going to see an offer we shouldn't refuse. And maybe some of you have already received the offer, and that's the offer of salvation and eternal life. And the most remarkable thing, Jesus offers his life instead of our lives. He lays his life down for us. And so we'll look at those things. And also we're going to look at not only an offer, but we're going to also look at a request. And this request is a window into the heart of God. His motivation of why he saved us. And it's because he loves us. And finally, we'll conclude with a response to the offer. The importance of saying yes. Because today is the day of salvation. So let's look at verse 21. And we'll look at the first two verses of chapter 6. For he, that's God, made him, that's Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, or that is Christ. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, let's look at the offer. First of all, let's look at the righteousness of God. God is a perfect judge. And he set up a system that if we sin, sin has to be paid for by blood. We see that in the Old Testament. When Adam and Eve have sinned and they departed, what did God give them in return? They used to be walking around naked, and now he gave them what? What kind of clothes? No, he gave them animal skins. Now, these animals had to die to give up their hides, right? It's like the story about this guy. He was hunting, and he saw this big old grizzly bear, and he was about to aim and shoot, and the grizzly bear said, hey, wait a minute. Can we just discuss this? And the hunter was taken back, a talking grizzly bear. And so he had a discussion with the grizzly bear, and the grizzly bear is saying, you're looking for something to wear, and I'm looking something to eat. Can't we just come to an agreement, a compromise? And the hunter goes, well, I guess so. And a few minutes later, the bear came out rubbing his tummy, and he says, he got something to wear, and I got something to eat. But God is a righteous God. Sin has to be paid for, and the Bible says that sin has to be paid for by the remission of blood. And so in the Old Testament, you see the priests, what do? They would kill a spotless lamb, an innocent lamb, a perfect lamb, and they take it to the altar, and they just slaughter, and the blood goes all over the place. And it's for the remission of sins. It never took away sins. It never paid it once and for all. It had to be done yearly. And when Jesus came, the perfect Lamb of God, when he died, his blood was spilt for your sin and my sin. It was perfect. It was done once. Jesus doesn't have to come down from heaven every year and die. When he said it was finished on the cross, it was finished. It was done in totality. Finished. And so when you place your faith in him, you receive the righteousness of God. As I said, every person born of Adam has died for the wages of sin. The moment Eve took the forbidden fruit, death has entered in creation. Every death, every disease, every war, every murder, every selfish act, every injustice against our fellow human being is a reminder we live in a fallen world. When Eve sinned, a curse was placed upon the earth. Death. When you go walking out in the mesa with no shoes, would you do that? No, you watch out for those goat heads. Part of the curse. And you know, and I think one of the most amazing things is that, well, I'll get back to that, but the problem is that with us now, we have a sin nature. You know, what happens when you're confronted with something that you did that you know you shouldn't have done, and somebody says, did you do it? You're probably, your first reaction, not just you, but me, is like, should I tell the truth? That sin nature is going like, man, I gotta hide what I did. I gotta hide the truth. And that's part of our sinful nature. Or somebody does something to you and you get ticked off and, oh, you're angry at that person. And sometimes you go, man, if I had a gun, you might be dead. You know, there's things that angers us. And sometimes we cop an attitude. Or let's say your parents tell you to do something and you don't want to do it because you don't want to do it. You ever done that? Yeah, that's sin. That's disobedience. We have that sinful nature. And see, the problem with us, and I think all of you are pretty good kids, but the problem with you good kids and me, we cannot be good enough to obtain salvation because God demands perfection. Perfection. It's like batting 1,000 every game for the whole season. Not making one single error. You can't do it, can you? Now, there's some guys on your team who have a super high batting average and are practically flawless, but they're not perfect. It's kind of like the story about, I heard, is this guy, it's like a long jump contest. Some of you can run fast, and you can run, and you can just jump, and you can jump really, really far. But the mark of perfection is being able to jump 50 feet. You know, some of you can jump much further than others, but you still fall short the perfect mark. You still fall short the glory of God. And that's our problem. We cannot be good enough. We can't do it on our own. So we need someone to give us an offer, an exchange, to live the perfect life. When I first read the Bible, I was about 15 years old. And I believed in God, but I didn't understand salvation. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I couldn't be perfect. I read the verse which says, be perfect in heaven as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. And then I read the Sermon on the Mount and I knew I was toast. I knew I couldn't do it. And it was something, oh God, help me. I can't do this. And you know, the Holy Spirit was saying, yeah, you're right. You cannot do it on your own. You can't. And then one day my friend shared the gospel with me because I said a statement one day at school. I told him, man, I hope I go to heaven. And my friend Robert, you know, he went to a Bible-believing church and he said that shook him up. And so the next week he shared the gospel with me and I was appointed for that time. Because when he shared the gospel and what Christ did for me, it was, God, I could see it, the light flashing through my mind. And my comment was, oh, it's that easy. It was made easy for me because of what Christ did, not what I can do. And so, let's look at verse 21. For he, that's God, made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for... who? Us, yeah, for us. God did it for us. Jesus went to the cross for you. You know, they said it wasn't nails that held Jesus' hands to the cross. It was love that held him on there. And I believe that's true. Because for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And that's an awesome thing. So God offers an exchange of lives to fulfill his righteous requirements. He offers his Son's life, Jesus, in the place of ours. See, the truth of the matter is, we're the ones who deserve to go on that cross. We're the ones who deserve the wrath of God because of our sins. But Jesus took the wrath of God, the full wrath of God. On the cross, did you notice it said, for he, God, made him who knew no sin, the innocent one, the righteous one, to be sin for us? I mean, I think it's a mind-boggling thing to think that God has his righteous requirement. It's impossible to fulfill, but he fulfilled it for us. It's like your parents, I expect you to get straight A's. And you're going, But your parents go and they do your homework and they take your test and they do it for you. And you get the diploma. You get the, I passed. You get the being the honor roll. And it's because somebody else did the work for you. And that's what God does. He makes you righteous. But here, Jesus was sinless. And he became sin for us. Is that fair? We all want justice. But God offers us mercy and grace. We don't want justice. We don't want to get what we deserve. We want what God offers us in mercy and justice. Jesus paid the price. And imagine the price that he paid. He was placed upon him every sinful thought we have ever had. Every sinful act, and you amplify it with all the people who lived in the world. It was placed upon him. You know, they say that a person who is crucified will live several days on that cross, and it's a very excruciating death. Usually die of suffocation. You can't breathe anymore because you don't have the strength to lift yourself up to get a gulp of air. And they said that Jesus died quick. And the reason is because all our sins were placed upon him. All of his sin, all of our sins. And they said that Jesus died of a broken heart for us. And he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, did you notice who's doing the initiating, making the offer? Who's making the offer here? Look at verse 21. Look at the pronouns. For God or for he, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's God making the move. God is making the exchange. I mean, it boggles my mind that God created the thorns that would become the crown of Jesus. That God created the trees that would eventually become the lumber to crucify his son. That he created all the elements, the metals that would eventually be the nails that would pierce his hands. That God's own creation would be used against him. That boggles my mind. Hope it boggles yours to think that God would humiliate himself for us. Would you die for somebody who hated you? Would you? God did. Yet while we're sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Because in our nature, you and I wouldn't do that, would we? You know, we say, kill the creep. In our flesh nature. But God says, no, lay your life down. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And so, Jesus was made to be sin. Wow. Now, did you notice the delight of God? Did you notice the reason for the exchange? Look at the second part of verse 21. After that comma, that we might, what? Righteousness of, wow. When little Johnny Rotten didn't know Christ, you know, everybody says, oh, little Johnny Rotten, he's a loser, man. He's going to end up in prison. And, you know, and you've probably met some of those kids in school, some of you. You know, it's like, oh, that kid, man, he's trouble. But little Johnny Rotten becomes little Johnny Righteous because he met Christ one day. That God changed his life. And now because of the righteousness of Christ living in him and transforming his life, that becomes the glory of God. It becomes to his delight. You know, it delights God that he can change your heart, that he can mold you and shape you. What did God say when he created the heavens and the earth? When he formed the earth, what was that phrase after each day of creation that he said after he created it? Do you remember? It is good. Here, God breathes life into you, and he's changing you, and from glory to glory, he's changing you, and he's saying, it's good. And you don't know it, but He's moving you and changing you, and you're becoming more godly, and he's saying, it's good. It's to his delight to make something out of nothing. By the way, that's how he created the heavens and the earth, out of nothing, and made it into something. And he does that. It's like some preachers will say, he likes to make zeros into heroes. And God does that. And he's changing each and every one of us to his glory and to his righteousness. See, guys, we all have great purpose in life because we are created in the image of God. And not only that, if the Lord is your Savior, you got even a greater purpose, and that is to know him and love him. Because he created you for his pleasure, for his delight. And not only that, he wants you to experience his pleasure and his delight in life by serving others, by having the blessed hope that when you die, you will be with him. Pastor Skip did a beautiful study last night about what happens when, he's doing a series of what happens when we die. And he was talking about when, after we die and after the tribulation, there's going to be the millennial reign of Christ. And we're going to be serving along with Jesus here on this earth. He's going to make us kings and priests on this earth. We're going to be serving the Lord, doing incredible things with these new bodies that cannot get sick, that can't sin. Who knows what other incredible things that we might be able to do, but it's going to be awesome. We got a big future in front of us, a big hope. And you know, God probably will create new universes. Well, he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And who knows what else he's going to create that the Bible does not describe. I don't think the whole heart of mind and heart of God is revealed in the Bible. It's still a mystery to us. And we won't find it out until we get into eternity. But we have great hope. And it's to God's delight that he's changing us and molding us here on earth into his righteousness. You know, when that old devil comes, accuses you, God says, he's my righteousness. Me? yep, you're my righteousness. And you know, and the world may laugh at you, and the world may scorn you, the world may call you a hypocrite, and you may be very well a hypocrite, but if you are in Christ, you're his. And God says, I do not see you that way. I see you as righteous. You know, one of the coolest phrases I ever heard was this: the truest thing about you is what your mama says about you. No, that's not true. The truest thing about you is what God says about you. That's the truest thing about you. You may think, I'm just a homely person or whatever. Whatever you think about yourself, it may be low or it may be high, but what matters is what God thinks about you. That's what matters. And if you want to have a high self-esteem, well, learn to know what God thinks about you. You want to feel good about yourself? Learn to know what God thinks about you, what his heart is towards you. And believe me, it's pretty high. It's pretty lofty. The Bible says he has seated us in high places. The Bible says he's going to spend an eternity just loving on us. That's pretty awesome. One of the coolest things about heaven, and when we're in eternity with God, everybody will love you. Is that true at school? No. You know, true, oh, that guy thinks he's cool, or, you know, you run in cliques. There won't be cliques in heaven where, you know, you want to fit in, but you can't fit in. That's not going to happen in heaven. Heaven is everybody's going to love one another. Everybody's going to get along. Everybody's going to appreciate the gifts that God has given you. Everybody's going to care for you. It's not these things that we have in school or in life. It's going to be awesome. So, now, let's look at the, we looked at the offer. Now, let's look at the request. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Well, remember earlier in 2 Corinthians, let's look at verse 20, if you're there. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, this is the ambassador's plea. Do not hear the grace of God in vain. You know, this is very important to you guys. Well, you know, scratch that. Shh, 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 shh. It's important to me as well. You, most of you probably been going to church Since when? What's that? Kindergarten. Some of you were probably chewing on the cribs in the sanctuary over there, right? Nana. You've been exposed. Some of you go to Christian schools and you have Christian families and you've heard this stuff over and over. Don't let it become old. And if it starts to become old to you, ask God to make it fresh. Make it fresh. You know, you can come to that attitude, been there, done that. We can get the attitude, oh, this is so boring. I want to live life. This, you know, exciting. You know, the devil does offer an exciting life, but it's for a season. And Jesus promises you abundant life. And that lasts for eternity, beginning now. When you live by faith, you live an exciting life. Because by faith, you're saying, God, I'm going to walk in this direction, and I don't know what you have for me. I don't know what you want me to do, but this is what I'm going to do. It's living by faith. Don't let it become old. You know, we must take the things of God that we hear and put it into practice. Because what happens when you do not put it to practice or take it to heart? What happens? Do you remember the parable of the sower? Jesus says, there's a sower. A guy's throwing seeds, planting them. Some fall on fertile soil. Some fall on the rocky soil. Some fall on the path. And Jesus said that some of the soil is snatched up by the birds. And he says, that's the devil. Oh, did God really say that? I can't believe that. Snatches that seed. Some of it falls into the rocky soil. You know, the trials of life get hard and hot, and you don't take it into your heart, and you just withers away. I can't believe God. Why does God allow evil? You know, and you come up with things instead of just trusting God. But he says that the soil that lands in fertile ground, a bumper crop grows. And Jesus says, be careful how you hear the word of God. Be careful how you listen. That's why it's important. And that's why the ambassador's plea is they plead with you in vain. Now let's look at the rest of verse 2. In acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. God has made the offer of salvation. He has provided all that we need to walk in salvation. He says, I have heard you and I have helped you. God is doing the work. All you have to do is believe, to trust. Is that hard work? For some it is. For some it is. Faith is hard to place their faith in Christ because they tried to figure it all out up here. Back to the movie Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Oh, what's her name? I forget. It's the older sister. Susan. And she's the smart one, isn't she? She's got to figure things out, right? Remember that? But she was given a bow and arrows. And Father Christmas, who gave her the bow, says, all you have to do is pull the bow and just shoot. By faith, boom, and it'll hit its target. We have been given faith, each and every one of you. You guys all practice it today. You all had the faith that if you came into this room, I wouldn't kill you. Right? Did you enter your mind? Let's use our faith in trusting God. Today is the day. That's the response. And he's offering this word of urgency. Today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week, because we don't know what the future holds. You can hear the gospel and you can put it off, say, maybe later, and I don't know. And you know, by golly, you're going home and you're in a car accident and you're dead. Today is the day of salvation. Do not delay. And I ask you, if you haven't received Christ today, do it. It takes a simple prayer. It's just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I want salvation. And if you're not sure you're going to heaven, pray that prayer. For today is the day of salvation. God has made it available to you, and all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved, the Bible says. And if you have done it already, rejoice in God, for the gift of salvation is given you. And share as ambassadors the gospels with others. I thank God for my friend Robert. In school, at Sandia High School, I was, I think, in 11th grade. He shared the gospel with me, and it transformed my life. God made sure that he's going to get me. I didn't go to church. I wasted 9 years before I started going to church. And you guys have the benefit of hearing Bible studies and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So give your life to God. Even if you're a believer, give your life. Renew your life every day with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have given us the most incredible gift, eternal life. You paid the penalty that we deserved. You've given us eternal life. You've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And Father, I pray that we would hear these words and let the truth sink deep into our hearts and transform us. And Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know if they're going to heaven or know if they're saved, that they would say those prayers and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, because you paid the price I deserved, and I want to be yours. Say that prayer. And so, Lord, by faith, as we walk out of this place, we're going to acknowledge you, and we're going to praise you, and we're going to love you, and we're going to think about you today, tomorrow, and the rest of the days of this week. And I pray, God, that you would make yourself more and more real each day as we live with you. In Jesus' name, amen.